Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you. Good to have you in here. Hour 3 on a Monday. Stick to Sports comes your way at 8:45 this morning. Right now, we get back to one of our two big stories of the day, and that is Tua Tagovailoa and his college football career coming to an end this past Saturday in Starkville, Mississippi. And here to talk about that is Aaron Suttles from The Athletic, also with Jocks FM in Birmingham. Aaron, we appreciate a couple of minutes. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. So what was your reaction and your takeaway with the way everything played out on Saturday with Saban and the, I guess, the rationale of the two-minute drill and the injury and everything that transpired?
I never thought it was an issue. I never had a problem with it. I think people... I get it. It's an emotional situation, so people are irrational creatures. Sometimes they seek to place blame, and that's fine. Rational people can disagree on whether he should have been in the game or out of the game, but if your fear is about injuries and concern, then why play football? Football is a violent game, and it's played by men who are strong and freakishly fast, and if your concern is truly about people getting injured, then no one should play. Raekwon Davis shouldn't have been in the game because now he's got an ankle sprain that may cause him to miss the Iron Bowl. DJ Dale shouldn't have been in the game. All those wide receivers shouldn't have been in the game. So I get it, but I just think people look – or they want someone to blame when they can't explain something. They were emotional that the best player maybe they've ever seen play in Alabama's history was gone, and they wanted a reason for it, and there is no reason. The reason is – A freak injury occurred by the circumstance of two grown men falling and putting all their weight on his knee, which caused his hip to dislocate.
I think, Aaron, it can be multiple things, though. Like, everything you just said can be true. And also, well, with two very winnable games left to go before the Iron Bowl, while knowing you've got to, you know, perform well with Tua in the Iron Bowl to get yourself into the playoff because you're sort of sitting on the fence. Listen, I said on Friday I don't think Tua should take a snap in either of the two games before Auburn because the number one priority is having Tua healthy for the Auburn game because the only way you're getting into the playoff is if you have Tua because without him, you're clearly not as good. So, I agree with you. It's a violent game. Anybody can play and get hurt on any play. It's a freak accident. I totally get that. But he was hobbled in the game against LSU. You didn't need him to beat Mississippi State or Western Carolina. I get that it's hindsight, but you're probably going to miss the playoffs now because Davis and Tua are hurt, and the accident could have been avoided if you're a fan of Tua.
I just disagree with it. If you want to play football, play football. And everyone wants to put this on Nick Saban. Nick Saban gave Tua and his family the option not to play. They advocated strongly that he play. They didn't want to rest. They didn't want to take the week off. And if he shouldn't have been playing and he was severely hobbled versus LSU, why aren't people up in arms about him playing against LSU? Where is that? Because he was much better against Mississippi State. He looked much better moving around the pocket. But I haven't heard one single person say, well, for his long-term career, he shouldn't have played versus LSU. Not once a person has said that. But all of a sudden, against Mississippi State, because he got hurt, people that now have – they can never be wrong, by the way, because now they've been proven right. They go back and say, well, he shouldn't have been playing. But what's the threshold? Should they have pulled him up 7-0? Should they have pulled him up when it was 14-7? What's the threshold of when you should pull a player from the game? Because I've heard a lot of Alabama fans say, this is just like Tyrone Prothrow. No, it's not. Tyrone Prothrow was in a blowout game in the fourth quarter. This was 3.5 minutes left of the second quarter. So – people that want to argue about that can't be wrong. So they argue from a position of strength. They should have said that, that he should have played versus LSU. Just sit him the rest of the season. If we're so worried about injuries and he was severely hobbled versus LSU, just shut him down and let him get ready for the draft.
Well, I can say that this show, even the LSU game, you know, we said maybe it would be better if he does sit versus LSU in regards to their playoffs, because if the committee looks at it, if they hang with LSU minus Tua, then that might look better for them having him healthy for Auburn. But in this situation, I hear everything you're saying, but sometimes a coach needs to be a coach and protect the player. We've always said this. Sometimes you got to protect the player from himself. And if Tua was hobbled after that LSU game, then you as a coach, yes, you talk with his parents, and his parents are advocating for him to play. But you being the coach, that's your program, it's your team. Sometimes you got to protect the player from himself. And I love Nick Saban. I played for him for 2 years. I go to bat for him any day of the week. But this situation, I just think Nick should have been the coach and should have said, listen, Tua, you think you can play? I understand that. But we need you later on down the line, and I'm just going to hold you out. Sometimes you got to protect the player from himself at all costs.
So we're not going to get him prepared to face the best defensive tackle in college football in Derrick Brown. We're not going to have any live reps at all.
You don't need live Derrick reps. You've had 2 years of live reps. Why do I need to give you more? That's like the whole the Nick Saban saying, well, I need to get him ready for 2 minutes. 2 minutes, he's been, your whole offense is a 2 minute drill. I think even Nick Saban saying that, thinking, he thought like, man, is this the right thing to say, 2 minutes? That's why everybody was kind of baffled when Nick Saban said the whole 2 minute thing, because you can work on 2 minutes any day of the week. You didn't have to use that situation to work a 2 minute drill.
Practice every day. Why practice football?
Tua's not going to get hurt. We know Tua's not going to get hurt in practice.
Alabama
we know
lost
that.
Its two inside starting linebackers.
Tua's not going to get hurt in practice. Tua's not going to get hurt in practice. Tua's been playing this game long enough. Saban protects those quarterbacks enough in practice. He's
How
not going
to
get hurt
in practice.
In 15 years of me playing in the NFL, four in college, I haven't seen an instance where a quarterback got hurt in practice, let alone messing up his hip in practice. So I would tend to lean toward. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but
Sean Watson did.
A coach needs to be a coach and protect the player from himself. We've said this for years. Sometimes you just got to step in. Even a pro coach, sometimes you just got to step in and say, "Listen, I know you want to play the game."
He didn't look hobbled. What are you talking about protecting from himself? It wasn't his ankle that got hurt. He ran fine.
I understand that it wasn't his ankle
protect
that got
him
hurt.
From an ankle that didn't bother him?
But
obviously
it bothered him because he was limping versus LSU real bad. So you can't tell me in a week span that ankle
was
not bothering
before.
Him.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Aaron, let me.
Your mind made up, so why have me on?
I'm just saying. This is not anything being combative toward you. We have you on because we enjoy awesome. Having people on and giving their takes.
It'd be cool if people cared as much about actually Tua and his career as they did about placing blame, but that's not where we are.
Let's
move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Guys, hey, I appreciate you having me on. Have a great day in Nashville.
Oh, well, man, get the hell off the care. I don't care.
Derek,
it don't matter to me because if he wants to sit here and take offense because this is radio, he doesn't agree with me, I don't agree with him, but I'm not going to kick him off the show. But if he wants to walk off, we don't need to have his ass on again, period. Don't call him no more because if he can't go back and forth, I didn't yell at him. I said, but I sort of, kind of, we were just going back and forth.
No, I know, but we asked him the same question 3 times.
It doesn't matter how we asked him, how many times. He came on, and I just asked him a question. I did not yell at him.
I just want to know, Tua's coming back next year.
Listen,
that's what I want to know.
He said, a quarterback can get it. I said, from my experience in my 15 years of playing, I have not seen a quarterback get hurt in practice. I just haven't. Especially not blowing a hip.
Deshaun Watson tore his ACL in practice 2 years ago.
I'm saying from my experience. What did I say? From my experience. Didn't
I
say that?
Yeah, I understand.
Man, quit taking up for the damn. He's a wuss, man. Damn it. Quit taking up for him. I'm tired of that, man.
Hey, I disagree
this is
with
our
him.
Show, okay?
I disagree
if you don't
want
to come on our show, don't come on our show. Quit taking up for people, man. Damn.
Don't talk to me like
goodness.
That. I disagree
he
with
He got
that.
Offended. Well, get off the show if you're going to get offended. Don't come back on.
It's 2019,
this is our show.
Right?
Yeah. This is our show. We didn't come at him.
Don't be surprised.
Like
it's 2019. Everybody's offended.
Goodness, getting offended. Don't come back on in.
Well,
we don't need him on.
There is an element of he's going out of his way to give us some of his time.
I don't care what he, if he's going out of his way. I didn't yell. Did I yell?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
No,
I didn't yell at him. I was kind of sort of laughing when he said that. I didn't yell at him. Stop being a wuss. Goodness.
How about that Oklahoma
He's
Baylor
a grown
game?
Man.
I was going to ask him about Mac Jones, but, you know.
He, I wanted to know if he was coming get back
off.
Next year.
He decides to get off. Well, don't come back on. I don't care. We don't need you.
I was going to ask him about Alabama's defense being the worst it's been in the Saban era.
Hell. Pete Golden, where do you rank him amongst Kirby Smart?
Like,
your
man,
thoughts?
That's just, it's crazy.
Listen, I'll say this. He was not willing to listen to the difference between he
expected us to listen to him, but he didn't
want
to listen to us.
Well, it's because he's being an interviewed guest on our show. We are supposed to listen to him.
Listen to him.
So my question is,
Marquise did predict that he got in my ear during the interview. You watch, he's going to hang up.
Yeah, and he was listen. He's a very good reporter. He's the one who broke the news on the
I couldn't care less about him being a good reporter,
but
man.
The problem with what I again this is. You wait for them to talk, and then we disagree with them once they're gone, and then they can't defend themselves. That's way more fun on our show. But my issue with Aaron Suttles there is not acknowledging the middle ground. There's middle ground in this. It's not about assigning blame. It's about picking the middle ground, which is it's not just about Tua's long-term career. It's not just about the two-minute drill. It's about what's the middle ground, and that is, all right, well, he's not 100% healthy. Let's not put him out there and risk it, even if he is healthy. And it's a hip, and it's not the ankle, and he's fine, and he's moving around, and he's scoring points. The question is every time you step on the field, Aaron admitted to us, that there's an inherent risk of getting injured. So why put your quarterback into that situation for 2 weeks when you don't need him to be, and what you do need him to be is healthy for Auburn? Because now that we have hindsight, he is not healthy for Auburn, and they're not going to make the playoff because of it. That's it.
This goes back to what I said in the opening segment, though. We are in a system where the way you win matters. So if you are going to use him against Mississippi State, your only reason for using him is because they knew they needed to go into Starkville and beat them 63-0 because their resume is so bad that they need to get every style point possible. Because
I don't think beating Mississippi State by 30 or 40 is going to get you into the playoffs.
No, but that's the same way.
Yeah, I agree on that.
That's the same thing we said about Clemson. What happened when we said Clemson felt disrespected? And what did we say? Well, watch out North Carolina State because they don't put up 50-something points on you.
And they covered.
And they covered. And they put up 50.
Yeah, and
because sometimes, even though we don't like it, style – maybe they do look – I don't know. Maybe they do look at how you beat a team.
I don't think and this is where I disagree with Aaron. We weren't placing blame. We were suggesting that maybe a different course of action might have been a smarter strategy. That's all. And I think if in a moment of truth, if you – I believe Nick Saban when he says, listen, if somebody's healthy, we're going to play you. Because it's football and people get hurt and it happens, and I understand that angle of this. But – I think you can beat Mississippi State and Western Carolina with Mac Jones very soundly, and the committee's not going to look at you any differently. I don't care if you win 38-0 or 63-0. You're not getting in or being left out of the playoff because Mac Jones won by only 30 or only by 40 or by 25. What will cost you a chance at the playoff is not having Tua Tagovailoa on the field. Period. That's it.
But that
will cost you the chance. Losing to Auburn, that will cost you the chance. The only thing that mattered in the final 3 weeks for Alabama was how did you look against Auburn and how good of a team are you? And without Tua, you're not as good.
But
and that's it.
I think we also said, and I mentioned this to him, that maybe he shouldn't play against LSU. I do recall us bringing that up and saying that maybe – if you play without Tua, it might just help you.
And this is where Aaron is dead right. If you are going to say, I think Nick's decision to play him was wrong, you needed to have said it, and you said this, Nick, you needed to have said it before the game. And Aaron doesn't know that you and I, Derek, did a show on Friday morning and spent 4 hours saying, I don't think Tua should play.
I think we did tell him that.
I mean, we said that.
I did.
I said that at the beginning of my question, but I don't expect him to know that. That's not his responsibility to know that. I mean, obviously, he should be an avid listener of Morning Drive now, of course. But I think.
Well, he won't be coming back on anytime soon.
And I did tell him that in my first question. I said, listen, we said on Friday we don't think he should have played. Let's have a more complicated conversation about how we manage an individual player with the goal of getting to the playoff. Not the goal of beating Mississippi State or the goal of Tua's career, but the idea for Nick Saban, his goal, is to get Alabama into the playoff.
But the thing is, though, I don't think Saban ever had a thought of sitting him against LSU or Mississippi State.
I don't think he did either.
I don't think he did either.
He'll do it against the Western Carolinas of the world, but any conference foe, There's no doubt Tua's playing if Tua can play.
And let's just play it out. Imagine asking Nick Saban the question before the Western Carolina game. Let's say Tua has no injury. Mm-hmm. He's totally healthy. And we go into the press conference that week and we go, Nick, are you considering not playing Tua Tagovailoa today, this week against Western Carolina? Against Western Carolina. And he's going to look at you and go, what are you talking about? Of course we're going to play the quarterback. He's a starting quarterback. He's going to play. And then he's going to rant about how if you're starting and you're healthy, you should play, blah, 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 blah. But he's not healthy. And again, I don't like speaking with hindsight here because now he's hurt. I hate that. But the end goal was to get to the playoff. And the way you get to the playoff was to be was to have Tua on your roster and to beat Auburn. And now you don't have Tua, and you might not beat Auburn, and so you're not going to get in. And even if you beat Auburn, you're probably not going to get in because you don't have the best player in school history playing quarterback for you anymore. And the committee's going to look at that and go, well, they're not as good. So we're not going to put you in. And that's the reality. That's
all right. Let's take some of your calls when we come back. 615-737-1025. Your calls on the Tua Bama Saban situation next. Also, the takeaways from all of college football on Saturday at the bottom of the hour. Stay there. It's Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive. ESPN 1025, The Game. The show that gives you everything you need Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. Takes, information, entertainment.
Conflict.
Conflict. Conflict resolution.
We got it all.
Fire, rage, vitriol. There's not a gear we don't have. It just matters, you know, comes down to when we decide to use those gears.
People are passionate and
hey, listen, I don't have anything against Suttles. I don't. We just went back and forth, and he decided that he didn't want to go back and forth anymore. So he left the show.
And I'm crying inside because we're talking about Tua.
I mean, he's probably a good guy.
Twitter is blowing up.
Let's have an actual interaction. I'd love to know what our audience thinks about this, and both of you guys. Like, do they want to hear us? Because I always feel weird about this. I always wonder when I go on other places and I do interviews. Like, I know you guys do interviews too. When we all do interviews, you know for a fact that when you get done doing an interview, that a host on that show is probably going to disagree with something you said, right? And you're not really there to defend yourself. So I always wonder, is it better to just have that conversation with the guest, or is it better to let the guest go, then disagree with the guest when he's not there to defend himself, which always feels like...
Yeah, but as a guest, it's very difficult to defend yourself on the phone because the host has a microphone and he just talks over you, and then it just becomes a debacle.
So I just am curious if fans, you know, if you're listening, the conflict is obviously very intriguing. But do you
love conflict?
But do you want it to happen after the? Do you want to hear a guy being interviewed? Like, I had a bunch of other questions for Tua. You're not wrong, Derek, in what you were saying. Aaron's not necessarily wrong in what he was saying.
And for full disclosure, none of us knew what Aaron's take was.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
We just had him on as the source that broke the information.
Yeah, and that was just Derek's natural reaction to what Aaron was saying. And I just wonder if fans would rather us just not rip a guest, because I disagree with Aaron's point. I don't think Aaron was listening to what we were saying and sort of acknowledging that there's a middle ground between every player should practice every single second of the day, and maybe there's a strategy behind resting your star quarterback for a couple of games, which is very anti-Saban. I mean, we all know that. But I think there's a nuanced conversation we can have, and he wasn't interested in having that conversation.
I mean, you're right, and I've always said you call a spade, and if I was wrong in that situation, I do apologize to Aaron. You guys said I should have let him finish the last time, and I didn't, and so I apologize for that. So I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong. It is what it is, but it was two guys just talking about a situation that he thought one way and I thought another. So
I just like seeing you get animated. I'm just sitting back, put my feet up, make some popcorn, pour Tito's. Let's get
Thursday night watching the Browns for you.
we got to get to that.
Post on social
the fact
media.
That you guys,
43.
You guys slandering my name and reputation on this program. After
on
you
your on your show
and calling me out when you know darn well I wanted to come in here and gloat that I took the Browns and won despite your advice not to bet on them, but the flu got me. Let's get to John, who's next on Morning Drive. John, you go ahead.
Guys, good morning. First off, I thought the interview was very intriguing. I agree with Derek, man. The guy shouldn't have got so offended. That's one. Two. To answer your question about just my point of view from a fan, I like the interaction, the back and forth when you all have guests on, because it gives you all a chance to respond to whatever it is that they're saying at that point in time. And then third, addressing the tour of the local injury. You know, he suffered a freak, you know, the dislocated hip. That's a geriatric injury. You know, I think the style points do play a factor. If they didn't play a factor and you asked Nick Saban, would you start him against West Carolina? Would you start him against, you know, whoever? If I think that load management is actually something really intriguing sneaking into sports in a few areas, and I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, John.
Thank you. I mean, and maybe, and you said it, Nick. I mean, maybe that's sort of like, you know, the brokenness, so to speak, of all of this, that you feel as a coach that you have to win by a certain amount of points when you have a loss on your resume already. So you figure, I got to go out here and I got to beat this team by 40 points in order for the committee to look at me a certain way. Maybe that's a flaw in it all. I don't know.
Well, we've seen it play out specifically years ago when this whole format started, when Ohio State went into the Big Ten Championship. Not only did they smash Wisconsin, they beat them 59-0.
Yeah.
If they win that game by 7, do they make the playoff that year?
Probably not. And that probably swayed some of the voters. But this is a different group of voters, so maybe they don't look at it from the same standpoint as those voters look at it. But what did we say about the Clemson thing when they play? I believe it was North Carolina State. Oh, watch out, North Carolina State. Clemson feels disrespected. You know, they're going to cover. You know, they're going to blow you up about 40 points, and they did just that. The style points mattered to them, I guess. Will that ever go away? I don't know. But, I mean, did we think prior to the Mississippi State, what was the likelihood of Alabama making it to the playoffs?
Small.
I think they had a chance.
Yeah, they had a chance, but they had to have a few things go their way in order to get in.
They needed to beat Auburn, number one.
Convincingly, we thought.
And convincingly would help, but you didn't have to. You just needed to win. You needed to be 11-1 at the end of the year. And what you needed was a healthy Tua. Mm-hmm. Because healthy Tua, when you're the committee, and the committee analyzes your team, again, it's in the bylaws that if you have to take into account injuries. And this football team is not as good with Mac Jones at quarterback as it is with Tua in a committee room where their job is to rank how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so a team that was already on the fence, like I could see a chance of them getting in because lots of teams could lose, right? Mm-hmm. You could see LSU winning out. You could see Clemson winning out and Ohio State winning out.
Mm-hmm.
And if then all of a sudden it's 11-1 Bama versus, I mean, Oklahoma almost lost a second time.
Yeah.
Baylor's now got a loss. Minnesota's lost now. I mean, teams are dropping like flies. So every team that loses, Alabama's got a better chance to get in.
Mm-hmm.
11-1 Bama would have just as good a case as a one-loss Pac-12 champion or a one-loss Big 12 champion. So there were three teams for one spot, basically, and Alabama's one of those three teams. But now that Tua's not on the team and not healthy, I don't think you've got a chance to be one of those three teams.
Even if they're 12-1, even if they finish 12-1, 11-1?
I don't think even with Mac Jones and beating – because eventually you have to look at the quarterback and say, well, Tua is arguably the greatest quarterback in SEC history, and Mac Jones is a backup. You're not as good. You're just not as good, and that is the committee's job is to rank how good you are.
So what if they still
– the risk-reward is what I have a problem with.
What if they still beat Auburn by more than 10 points with Mac Jones at quarterback? What do you – and then you have some – you know, you have things kind of play out around you.
You probably finish just – and this isn't fair, but I think the committee is looking for reasons to not include Bama this year.
I mean, it could be,
right? The resume's not as good. They don't have the good wins, you know, although A&M's going to turn out to be a good win, and their resume's not as bad as people think it is. But the resume isn't loaded, and now you've lost your best player. The committee, you were on the fence. You were basically – you had a 50-50 chance to get in. And now the committee's looking at you without your two best players, one on offense and one on defense, going – we needed a reason to leave you out, and now we've got one. And they don't need an explanation. If they leave Alabama out, they don't have to explain anything, right? Like, they can go to the press conference, and they don't have to say a word about Alabama. No one's going to ask them about it. Mm-hmm. But if they put them in, they've got to explain that, and they're going to be asked about that. With Tua, you can just say they're one of the best four teams.
Mm-hmm.
Without Tua, that argument becomes a lot harder.
Even if they beat Auburn.
And so I just think that the committee was looking for an excuse not to have Alabama in the top four, not because of a bias or anything, but just because they didn't like their resume. And now, without the best player in the history of the school, arguably, the answer's right there in front of them.
I didn't think they had a great chance to go in and beat Auburn with Tua.
You did?
I think Bo Nix is going to give them fits.
Well, I think
yes. He will, but
Auburn's
a
good football team.
I thought with Tua, you know, healthy somewhat, I think they would have won that game. Because, again, LSU was able to put up 20-some points on them. Georgia was able to put up 20-some points on them. And we look at Alabama's offense as being definitely better than Georgia's.
Oh, for sure.
And it's slightly better than LSU's, I think. Or you can say they're both on the same level. I think Alabama would have won that game by more than 10 points with Tua. And that might have been enough for the committee. Now, if they don't, you know, they don't have Tua, I'm just trying to figure out if they still win this game by 10 points.
I don't think so.
Would the committee say, you know what? They deserve it.
Unless a bunch of teams lose a bunch of games they're not supposed to, right? Like Oregon and Utah right now are slated to be in the Pac-12 championship game with one loss. So the Pac-12 is going to have a pretty appealing one-loss conference champion, whether it's Oregon or Utah. Utah is crushing people right now.
Yeah.
Their resume is not great. They don't have a bunch of great wins, but they are dominating people. They made UCLA look terrible over the weekend.
That was bad.
They embarrass Washington State. They're embarrassing everybody they play. But they play Arizona. Like, Oregon plays Arizona State this week, and Utah plays Arizona. If those are on the road, there could be an upset coming up this weekend. If one of those teams loses, like, again, it's all about upsets, right? I mean, if Penn State loses to Ohio State, they're eliminated. If Georgia loses to A&M, they're eliminated. Like, I think teams are going to eliminate themselves, and so Alabama would have been competing with one other team, I think, maybe a second team, to be in that four spot. And now the committee has an easy excuse to not put them in. I just think that's what it comes down to.
Right now, it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw coming up on Monday, December the 2nd at Bridgestone Arena. Just be caller number 5 right now. 615-737-1025 is the number. Caller 5, 737-1025. And you're going to go to WWE Monday Night Raw, Bridgestone Arena, Monday, December the 2nd, as the superstars of Monday Night Raw will be broadcast to the world live from Bridgestone Arena. Don't miss Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, United States Champion AJ Styles, plus many more. And maybe you'll run into Chase McCabe as he's geeking out wearing a Ric Flair shirt. Back after this on Morning Drive. 8:34, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stick to sports coming up at 8:45 this morning. Darren McFarland at 9. And then at 9:30 this morning, we will go around the National Football League. But yesterday, actually 2 days ago, college football. You know, it's funny how we always get up in a tizzy about the rankings, and this team's undefeated, but they're disrespected. This team's too high with one loss. And it always has a way of playing itself out. And that was, once again, the case this week as Minnesota, coming off of that big win against Penn State 2 weeks ago. And I think I said this to you guys on the show. Why are they an underdog to Iowa when Iowa has 3 losses? That's because Vegas thinks Iowa's going to beat them. Minnesota goes down, and then Baylor chokes away a 28-3 lead that even Matt Ryan and the Falcons were laughing at.
And again, if you're an Alabama fan, mm-hmm. what you needed was teams to sort of fall by the wayside. You needed actually Auburn to beat Georgia, but Georgia, right. Georgia goes up 21-0 and just handles its business there. I know Bo Nix made a comeback. But Oklahoma, listen, that is – here's the crazy thing about Oklahoma. 0 points allowed in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Because that is not what we expect from the Oklahoma defense. And they were down, largest comeback in school history, down 25 points in the first half. They make the comeback.
How many points were they down in that Kansas State
25
game?
Didn't make the comeback.
Yeah.
And again, Kansas State, here's the weird thing about the Big 12 when you're looking at the playoff race, if you're a fan of Alabama or Georgia, because there still could very much be two SEC teams in. If Georgia beats LSU, they're both getting in. If they both make it to Atlanta with one combined loss and Georgia beats LSU, I think they're both getting in. And I told Nick before the show, is this the right time for me to remind people that I picked Georgia over Clemson in the national title game, or should I hold off on that?
Be careful. Clemson looks awfully salty.
I'm not ready to totally, you know, kind of go back on my own predictions and start beating the drums yet. I'm not ready yet. When they beat A&M this week, I'll start banging the Georgia drum a little bit. But it was good for all these other scenarios, is to see Minnesota lose, to see Baylor lose. I don't see how they can get back into the playoff now. And it makes the Big 12 look bad. So I think the Big 12 is out, and I think it comes down to Alabama, a second SEC team, maybe Georgia LSU, and maybe a Pac-12 champion. So this is great. I don't know about you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember a time in week 13 of college football season, of the playoff era, where we had 8 or 9 or 10 teams still eligible to get in. I can't remember that.
It's fascinating.
We thought this was going to be Bama, Clemson, Bama, Clemson, Bama, Clemson, just like it has been every year for the last few years. And now we've got a different number one, a different number two. We've got 10 teams that could get in. I think it's been a great season.
Yeah, you have, with the exception, because I think Minnesota chances are slim to none unless they come back and they beat, say, an Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. I think that's the only way they get back in, if they don't have another loss prior to that game. But you look at LSU and Clemson, I think both of those teams are going undefeated. Ohio State still have a tough outing against Michigan, so they could potentially have a loss. But, yeah, the way you're looking at Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Utah, Oklahoma, even Penn State with one loss, they still got a shot at making it. I think the two teams that, unless things just completely collapse, Clemson and LSU, I think they are almost a lock.
I think LSU can lose in Atlanta and get
in. Yeah, I think they are almost a lock. I think it's the rest of the teams. I think Ohio State can't afford, you know.
I think they can lose to Michigan and still get in.
But they would have to win the Big Ten championship.
But they have to beat Penn State this week.
Yeah.
You got to beat Penn State this week, because otherwise you wouldn't win the division. If you beat Penn State this week and then you lose to Michigan, you still win the division. So you still go to the Big Ten title game. You still can beat Wisconsin or Minnesota. You still build a resume, and I still think you can get in. So it's just been fascinating. Like,
oh, it's good for college football.
And here's the other thing. You people, and when I say you people,
and don't add another team to the playoff,
I mean,
two more teams.
Yes. When I say you people, I'm talking to you expansionists out there, okay? You expansionists. Guess what's going to happen on Championship Saturday? We're going to have Oregon and Utah with one loss playing into the playoff. That's a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have maybe Minnesota and Ohio State, or some combination in the Big Ten, playing in a playoff game. Winner gets in, probably. SEC, Georgia versus LSU, winner gets in. Baylor versus Oklahoma in a rematch with one loss each in the Big 12 title game. Winner could get in. We are going to have another round of playoff games.
There's your 8 teams.
On Championship Saturday. Why do we need to change it?
Yeah.
You can't water it
down.
That
Saturday, how great is that Saturday going to be if we get there with a bunch of one-loss teams?
Wonderful.
It's going to be amazing.
Appointment viewing.
Even Clemson versus Virginia might be a semi-interesting football game. No, I'm not going to believe that, but I'm going to try. But, like, it might. You
nah,
see what
Clemson
I'm saying, though?
Win by
like,
30.
Like, we're going to have epic showdowns on Championship Saturday with the winner getting into the playoff. Those are playoff games.
So Saturday night I tweeted this out, and it got completely squashed because Baylor blew a 28-3 lead. Oklahoma came back to win. But I said, with Oklahoma at that point looking like they were on their way for a second loss, after Joe Burrow, who would you have second for the Heisman? And the reason I asked was Tua's injured. Mm-hmm. Chase Young is suspended. Jalen Hurts was looking like he was on the verge of a second loss. Has Trevor Lawrence worked his way back into the Heisman conversation?
His numbers are sick.
Because now all of a sudden he looks ridiculous.
He's got the second longest interception free streak in all of college football. He's had 18 touchdowns, no interceptions in the last like six games. Like all these, always throwing too many picks. Like he's pressing. He looks this. He looks that. 40-point win. 40-point win. 40-point win. 40-point win. You know, five touchdowns. Five touchdowns. Five. He's not going to get credit though because of his schedule. And that's just how the cookie's crumbling for Trevor Lawrence right now. I think Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin deserves some love. They, by the way, if they both win, Minnesota and Wisconsin will play for the division championship when Wisconsin and Minnesota meet in the final weekend for the 129th time, which is the longest rivalry in all of college football. A winner take all in the division. If that could help Jonathan Taylor's case, if he gets into the championship game and plays against Ohio State again, that could help his chance. He had another 200-yard game. He broke Herschel Walker's record this weekend for most yards rushing in the first 3 years. Herschel Walker, when you're passing Herschel Walker on any list, I don't care what list, you've accomplished something special. So I think he could be in the conversation as well. And then Justin Fields, is a guy that if they keep winning, he's got a bunch of big stages, right? He's got Penn State, at Michigan, Big Ten title game. Justin Fields is going to have a lot of stage.
He has an opportunity, just like Jalen Hurts has an opportunity. to continue to work their way or make the case as being a Heisman Trophy. I don't think Trevor Lawrence wins it or even are in the top two or three because of Travis Etienne. I think he takes away some of the votes from Trevor Lawrence because, I mean, he's arguably the second or third best back in the country.
To your point, Etienne, 1,335 yards, 14 touchdowns, 8.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, so you have potentially, you know, he comes out this year, right, Travis Etienne?
He's a junior.
Yes, yeah, so he's more than likely to come out. So you have him. You have Swift.
DeAndre Swift's really good. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor probably leaves early.
I'm saying just in the SEC.
Oh, just the SEC.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah, Vaughn. So you have three or four backs that could be drafted in the first two or three rounds from the SEC.
Well, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire might be the best of all of them.
Yeah. I mean, goodness.
That dude, you cannot tackle that
Well,
guy.
I know Clemson is packed. It's you know, ACC.
Is it wrong of me to just automatically, like, I don't even know what the right word is because I don't want to be inappropriate, but this is Grown Folks Radio. I am so aroused by LSU, Georgia, and Atlanta.
That's going
like,
to be.
If they can both get there without losing another game the rest of the year. Like Kirby Smart's defense, the statistics on the Georgia defense are spectacular. They allowed a rushing touchdown to Bo Nix. It's the first rushing touchdown they've allowed all year.
Check this out.
So the Joe Burrow versus Georgia's defense in Atlanta for a trip to the playoff. Oh my God, my pants are off.
Just think, LSU, LSU had
no pants party in my house.
They had Odell Beckham. And Travis Lawrence, I mean, Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry
and
on
Jeremy,
the team.
And Jeremy Hill.
And Jeremy Hill on the team together.
Yeah.
Together.
And they won eight games?
These two receivers,
nice job,
Chase and Jefferson, both 1,000 yards, both over 10 touchdowns. They have more combined yards than any duo of receivers in LSU history. And you're talking a school that has had some really good receivers.
Well, and they got the other guy. Two, they got Marshall, right?
Yeah, Marshall.
Marshall's no joke. He's missed a bunch of games.
Exactly.
And
so
they are. I can't wait for the Kirby Smart defense and the LSU offense. That is because the LSU is. Listen, they gave up almost 40 points this week to Ole Miss. They gave up almost 40 points to Vanderbilt. I know two of those touchdowns were defensive. They gave up 38 or whatever it was to Texas. LSU's defense, like Alabama's, is not exactly perfect. Mm-hmm. There are questions there, and so. I think Georgia will be able to slow the game down, make it look dirty, and play the way Auburn played them. Like, LSU's toughest game so far outside of Bama was Auburn at home, where it was lower scoring and Joe Burrow wasn't throwing for five touchdowns. I think Georgia can make them play that style of game in Atlanta if they both can get there. They both have to play A&M, so it's good luck, Jimbo Fisher.
Stick to Sports coming up next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Stick to Sports live here, Morning Drive live here on a Monday edition of the show.
I mean, it is Stick to Sports.
Stick to Sports. It is Stick to Sports time. So without further ado, Mr. Munson, let's roll. All right, D-May, Stick to Sports brought to you by
the good folks at Decorated In Interiors. Stick with the pros at Decorated In. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, request a complimentary appointment online at decoratedin.com.
Number one.
All right, so question number one. Now, Martin Scorsese, who is a director, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, some classic movies.
Taxi Driver.
I went old school with that one.
I love that. Yes, I do.
That was actually a pretty good
That's
movie.
That's a twisted-ass movie.
Casino is probably my favorite out of all of his work, though. I love Casino. Casino's a bomb movie. But
Cape Fear.
Yeah. So, that's yours? Huh? That's okay movie. I like it. But so he had comments to make about Marvel movies, and he basically said that, you know, I don't see them because he doesn't consider those movies to be cinema. He considers those to just be, you know, he just doesn't think that they're a part of the cinema genre. But it got me to mention that if you think about the last movies we've saw, like the last movies I saw, they're either reboots or they're, you know, Marvel movies or comic book movies. So
Jordan Peele's the only one doing original stuff right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's got me thinking like. Now. He may be right because, quite frankly, there's no original movies coming out anymore.
Well, it's because TV has taken over. TV is better. Look at all the best TV shows around the country, like whether it's AMC or, you know, HBO or whatever. Like, we are in the golden era of television. It's the first time ever where people have gone from movies to, like, as an actor or actress. You've decided to leave movies to go to TV. It never used to be that. We used to always be the other way around. We have the best television we've ever seen ever in our lives because people want to binge stuff now.
There's two really good ones I saw yesterday that were previewed I want to go see. I want to see the Tom Hanks' Mr. Rogers movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the one about the Olympic bombing in 96 in Atlanta.
That one looks really, that one looks really good.
That one looks amazing.
So you watched The Joker, right?
I did.
The Joker is crazy.
And you've seen it too?
Yeah.
So I've heard great things about that. But it also is, to Marquise's point,
it's a reboot basically.
How many Jokers have there been?
So just go back. Like, okay,
movies are just like sports radio. It's all been done before. Yeah. There's nothing original. There's no creative segment.
But see, you mentioned two movies that are biopics. So it's either we're getting to superhero movies, reboots of movies, or biopics of people. So just think about the last time you saw a movie that was actually an original thought process.
It might have been
Jordan Peele's movie.
Yeah, Us. Well, that was my last one.
And I don't go to the movies at all. Like, at all. I don't go to the movies. I get it all on my TV. So I just stream, whether it's Xfinity or the Disney Plus app. But even the Disney Plus app, I'm looking through the Disney Plus app mostly for the kids. We've got it, and it's great. It's awesome. They do a great job. But I watched Endgame for the first time, the last Avengers movie or whatever, and I'm scrolling through all the Marvel section of the Disney Plus app, and I'm just going, like, they're just taking every single character that's ever been in the comic book, turning it into a movie, and then, like, putting them all together into a team, and then they're just it's like the Fast and the Furious. They're just doing the same movie over and over
Don't mention that movie.
But people go see it.
And I mean, listen, I watched it. I don't know why I don't know why it needs to be 3.5 hours. Like, Endgame was like 3 hours and 10 minutes. I don't need anything longer than two hours and some change.
That was a long movie.
I don't need anything in 3 hours.
Like the new Terminator movie. I saw that.
Why are they doing that?
It's nothing but the old Terminator movie.
Just
a different cast.
But Schwarzenegger's not in it, right?
He's in this one. Yeah.
But
Schwarzenegger and the lady.
She looks really old.
Yeah.
Have you noticed her? I mean, she did not age well.
Just easy, man.
I was like, wait, is that
bro?
I'm like, wow, 1992 was like 50 years ago.
It
was 30 years
older.
Ago.
Yeah,
I will say
older.
This though, but think about the concepts that we have on TV.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Game of Thrones, we've got Veep, we've got Silicon Valley, we've got, you know, Breaking Bad, we've got, you know, Mad Men, right? These are all completely original concepts. Like, think about how original all these TV shows are and how unique and creative they are. And we don't, you know, movies just doesn't feel like it's the same stuff.
The last three movies I saw were Aladdin. It was Lion King.
You're watching the new ones?
Yeah.
You're cheating on your childhood, dude.
I know, man. Hey, it was awful.
Did you feel
too
bad about yourself?
Well, Will Smith was in it. He was playing a genie. You know, I thought
you
it was going to be
do
cool.
That.
It was awful.
Will Smith, remember I put on the rant wheel. Will Smith. You will never be better than Robin Williams.
No, he wasn't.
Nobody will ever be better than Robin Williams.
But look, and then Lion King had, you know, Beyonce playing a lion. She didn't play Nala, who's the actual character on Lion King.
Lion King.
Yeah, she played Beyonce as a lion. That's what they should have put in the
speaking
credits.
Speaking of Disney Plus, did you see Adam Vingan's tweet yesterday?
What?
Apparently Vingan signed up for the Disney Plus, and he came to the conclusion that Peter Pan was a racist. I unfollowed him immediately.
He's like the nicest character. My girls saw Little Mermaid for the first time ever over the weekend. So we were literally holding off on all the new movies because we didn't want them to see Lion King or Jungle Book or any of these new ones because we want them to see the animated version first. Now the 3-year-old loves Aladdin.
Let me ask
you
this:
Robin Williams.
I know they all fall under the same entity, but Pixar and Disney. You know, obviously, Toy Story was the first Pixar movie, so that's when Disney made that transition to, like, the...
Well, no, they weren't. It was a separate company, right?
Yeah.
And then Disney bought them, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that...
I thought that's what it was. But, so, would you prefer if you were to rank some of your best movies from Disney, are they mostly Disney movies or are they mostly Pixar? Because I was raised
recently,
on Pixar, so...
Recently,
Toy
it had
Story
to be
and,
Pixar.
No, I was raised on Aladdin, Lion King...
Which is Disney.
I mean, true animated Disney movies.
Exactly.
Like Dumbo, like, you know, all that
but
stuff.
Think about this. We're talking about cartoons. Think about Pinocchio and Dumbo.
Oh, dude.
Bambi.
Yeah.
Those are really
that
some,
Wimpy Deer?
Those are really some dark cartoons.
You know my favorite
one? They were dark cartoons. People died.
Yes. My favorite one of all as a childhood, though, outside Aladdin was number one for me. Uh-huh. But Robin Hood. I loved the Disney animated version of Robin Hood. I love that movie. That was one of my favorites as a kid. Very underrated. Emperor's New Groove with David Spade.
Yeah,
that's a hilarious movie.
Even if you watch the old Snow White, that was dark.
Yeah, I think on Disney Plus for the older cartoons, there are like disclaimers because some of these cartoons were obviously made in the 40s and 50s. So it's a
well. What about The Little Mermaid?
How about this?
Yeah,
late 80s.
Did you know that Pixar began in 1979 as a part of Lucasfilm's computer division? Did you know that, according to Wikipedia?
No, that's some really riveting stuff there.
Yeah.
Thanks for filming.
Shut your mouth. Walt Disney bought them in 2006.
Lucas Oil Stadium?
Well, no, Lucas is Star Wars, you knuckleheads.
I know.
Like the most revolutionary movie of all time, who now also is owned by Disney.
I'm just thinking back to my child. I used to think I had a crush on Ariel.
I was a Jasmine.
The Little Mermaid.
No, I was Jasmine.
I was Jasmine all the way.
Now, who was Jasmine?
Aladdin.
What?
Okay, that's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
You just said, who's Jasmine?
No, I just had the refresh. I remember.
Oh, my goodness. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we got something else.
Number two.
All right,
that was
Brady.
That was good 7 minutes on Disney.
I love Disney, though, man. But I also love Eddie Murphy, too. And he's coming out with Beverly Hills Cop 4, by the way.
No, I saw that.
Did you see that? Yeah, it's going to be on Netflix. Yeah. Now, he's having a good end of the year. You know he's hosting Saturday Night Live in December. Yep. Mm-hmm. He had the Dolomite movie that was really good.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. He's also Coming to America 2's finished up, so that movie's going to be coming out next year. But it just seems like I look back at Eddie Murphy's career, and he in the 80s, he had some of the best movies. Beverly Hills Cop, obviously. Coming to America. He hit that dry spell in the 90s where he just had
48 hours.
48 hours. Let me not forget that. But he seems like he hit a dry spell in the 90s. Then I'm just going to ask you guys, outside of, if let's take Beverly Hills Cop and let's take Coming to America and 48 Hours because those are three classics. What is the best Eddie Murphy movie that that's kind of underappreciated?
Changing Places. You already
missed
one of his greatest movies of all time.
I think Bowfinger was
Yeah, Bowfinger's good.
I'll say Life.
Underrated.
You guys loved Bowfinger?
Yeah, I love Life, too. Don't get me wrong.
Life
with
him
life.
And Martin
but
Lawrence
Bowfinger
were
with Steve Martin, that was a good one. I like that.
How about Norbit?
Norbit's actually pretty good.
Norbit was funny.
Norbit's good. I'm not going to lie. Norbit's a good movie.
I mean, now, I will say, though, one of my favorite Eddie Murphy characters of all time is the donkey. From Shrek.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're also forgetting.
Look at me. I'm a flying donkey.
We're also forgetting Nutty Professor.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the dry spell, but if you're now relegated to a Netflix-only release, and I get Netflix is huge, is that like a sign saying your career is basically finished?
No.
Netflix is huge.
I know.
That's the point of what we're saying, though.
But like, if you're a young actor, I would say yes. But when you've got 4 decades and now you're Netflix-only,
Well, look at, didn't Sandra Bullock just do that bird, that stupid
that bird
box?
Was
that
Netflix? Yeah.
And didn't Julia Roberts just do one on Amazon or Hulu? She just did a series that got a lot of big time reviews.
Was it I Am Mother? Nah, it wasn't.
It was a release that you can binge. And again, this is what we're seeing, that TV is now a bigger pull than movies are. People are streaming stuff at home way more than they're going to movies anymore. Okay. Like we've changed our viewing habits.
Okay, what does this say about me? And I just want to hear from you.
It says a lot about you.
I just want to hear from you. I'll just answer it now. Is that I sat down and I really enjoyed Sex and the City Part 2. What does that say about me?
You got to have some sparkle, Derek.
Yeah.
We're bad.
Derek, let me ask you
this,
though.
You still got sparkle?
Let me ask you this, Derek. What was better, though? Sex and the City or Girlfriends?
They're both.
I don't know. Sex and the City 2 was good.
When they go to Dubai?
Yeah, when they go to Dubai.
Listen to us talking about
that was
Nick,
good.
Give me some quotes from Sex and the City.
No, I got nothing for you, man. Thought we had to sit this one out.
I can't believe I just quoted Sex and the City, too.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, that's it for Stick to Sports. Big final hour coming up. We will go around the NFL at 9:30, the big finish at 9:45. But we kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our buddy Darren McFarland next on Morning Drive.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.